I'm having a delightful conversation here with Norman Audrey Henderson in their Ottawa house, where I dropped in to see them this very Christmassy day. Why am I here? To discover more about their decision to uproot themselves from Ottawa and make a new life in Africa. Norm, first things first, exactly what are you and Audrey going to be engaged in over there, and which part of Africa?
Well, thank you, Tony, for taking this time with us. We're joining Mission Aviation Fellowship, which is the oldest and largest organization in the world that specializes in transportation and technology, really, to support other missions and charitable organizations, relief organizations, and so on. In fact, about 1,000 different organizations in 50 countries. I'm going to be flying airplanes, typically quite small airplanes, 6 or 8 seats, and Audrey is a nurse and will be flying those skills. See, in many of the more remote places of the world, it can take days or even weeks to get from point A to point B, and that can be quite important. If someone's injured or ill,
yeah,
they need to get to a hospital, or our medical team needs to get out into the remote areas to provide basic treatment, basic health education, theological education. And the airplane provides a means of doing that in minutes or perhaps a few hours at the most, replacing a trip that could take many days. Some of the roads we've seen are horrific. In the rainy seasons, they can degenerate to a sea of mud. You get a couple of large trucks stuck in the road and nobody's going anywhere.
How long has MAF been operating?
MAF was founded in 1946, I believe, from memory. It was the brainchild, really, of several military pilots from the US, from Australia, and from the UK, and they saw a vision to take this new tool of aviation. As you can understand, at the end of the Second World War, aviation was really coming into its own, and they felt that this could be applied to the service of the gospel around the world. So they formed this organization. They enlisted the help of Betty Green, who had been a military pilot as well with the Women's Auxiliary, Women's Auxiliary Service Pilot. She was in the U.S., flying fighters and bombers back and forth across the Atlantic. And she was actually MAF's first pilot, one of the founding members, and flew their first flight in 1948, I believe, into a remote area of Mexico. And that flight took some Bible translators in to live and work in that area in order to commit the language to writing, first of all, understand the language, analyze it, commit it to writing, and ultimately to translate the scriptures into that language.
Okay, so this is a very mature organization. But can you explain what it was that motivated you to make such a radical change in your lives, the two of you?
I'm still wondering a little bit what the answer is to that question. Sometimes things sneak up on you, but it has been brewing for a long time. I had the privilege of living in Zambia for 5 years as an adolescent, preteen, and was exposed to airplanes and mission flying at that time. So the bug has kind of been there really since then, in a way. I had a bit of a rocky road in my spiritual life during my early adulthood, I suppose. And coming through that period, it was natural to reflect on what I'd done, what I was able to do, what I was going to do in the future. And clearly it wasn't going to be motivated the same way it had been motivated before that. So I began to consider, well, what is God calling me to do? What gifts do I have? What abilities have I gathered, what experience do I have? And it just seemed to me to add up to mission aviation. Aviation and technology, I should say, because I do expect to be still doing some information technology work along on the side.
And I guess that your project in Angola added to your enthusiasm for this. Why don't you tell our listeners just a quick pen portrait of the Angolan project, because I happen to know about it, but they don't.
A couple of years ago, we were in Angola, and Norm was putting up a telecommunication system at the hospital in Lubango, which is in the southern part of Angola. So we were really impressed with the work there, and clearly there was a real need for medical help in different parts of Angola. Our friend had, who's a surgeon there, was basically traveling all over the southern part of Angola to different hospitals that didn't have a doctor, and he would drive on a Friday night after he'd worked all week, and he'd drive on a Friday night all night to get there, and he'd be operating all day Saturday and preach on Sunday morning and operate in the afternoon, and then he'd turn around and try and drive back home, you know, drinking high caffeine drinks to keep himself awake. It was just a bizarre schedule. So just recently, there was a group of doctors in Toronto that raised some funds for him to get a Mission Aviation Fellowship, an MEF plane, to actually take him from Lubango to some more remote hospitals. And you know, in a couple of hours, less than an hour, I think it is,
yes,
you can get there. And it just made such a difference to the wear and tear on him, but also to the people there, that he could be really there for them, and that's one of the things we really...
So you got the bug from him.
Yeah.
Are you going to be flying in just one or two African countries, or could you be anywhere in Africa?
We'll be assigned to a particular country, and the formalities, government formalities being what they are, most of the flying will be within the country. There will be some border crossing here and there, but by and large, it looks like we're going to be assigned to Zambia. It's not finalized yet, but if that is the case, I'll expect to be stationed in a remote part of Zambia and flying people in and out, and goods and supplies in and out of that particular remote hospital. So some trips will be into the city, some trips will be out to even more remote outposts, and really will service both the medical work of the hospital and all of the teaching and everything else that goes alongside that. So principally it'll be within Zambia though.
And Audrey, while Norm's piloting the plane all over Zambia and possibly other places, what's going to be your main focus? What are you going to be engaged in?
I think it'll depend a little bit which area we're going to be stationed at. My hope is that I can do something in the health-related field to somehow promote the health care there. And I know there's a tremendous amount of suffering, and certainly with all the AIDS that is in Africa right now. But also just primary health teaching as well, and I don't know, I guess I'll wait and see until I get there.
You could end up being asked to do things that in this country would take a 20-year experienced neurosurgeon, and you have to do it because you're the only one. Is that a possibility?
I won't be doing any neurosurgery, Tony. I think... you know, often God sends us to places where we're not sure what he has in mind for us. And for me, the main thing is to be prepared to be obedient and just to go there.
Yes. I mean, I certainly sense from what both of you are saying that the motivation here has come from something outside your own brains, that you're listening to, mm-hmm, to the call.
It sneaks up on you, really, our first instinct was, well, maybe we could take a short term, maybe a year or two. And maybe not right away, we could take our time, and when it suits us, when it suits the business, for example, that I'm running, I could take a year or two. And then we went and had a discussion with MAF, and they were very open to the idea of a short stint. But they said, you know, you could go for a 3.5-year term, or several 3.5-year terms. And it struck me, yeah, why not? Why would we only go for a couple of years? So there was something there that went beyond logical thought process, certainly. Another really good example is regarding our house. We decided that, actually each of us came to the conclusion quite independently that we would sell the house. And that was a surprise to us because we had always thought that, well, of course we'll keep the house because we need somewhere to come back to, and we have family in Ottawa, and we had things somewhat arranged tentatively that a couple of our kids would live in the house and look after it and rent out bits of it, and this was all going to be fine. And it would mean that much of our lifestyle would be perhaps preserved over the time we're away, whether it's 4 years or 8 years or longer, we'd have a place to come back to. But we both came to the conclusion that, no, we're meant to sell the house. And the surprise was that there's no angst about that, there's no concern. It doesn't feel strange, it doesn't feel that we wasted all the energy we put into it over the years, fixing things up and so on.
And you both agreed?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
I mean, that's quite a sign, isn't it? In a way.
It is, actually.
Tony, you know we agree on everything.
Of course. None of this kind of thing can happen without support, and I'm talking financial support. And we don't fly airplanes around Africa without somebody paying. I'm going to guess that you are on a fundraising exercise as well at the time. If people are listening to this and they might like to help you, support you financially, what should they do?
Well, yes, we are raising funds, and fundraising is really at several different levels. What we're engaged in primarily now is looking for the funds that will support adding one more couple to the roster, so to speak. And so that means not just the living allowance that we receive, which is fairly modest, but also all the other costs involved in getting us there and keeping us there. Things like medical and other health benefits are considerably more complicated, more expensive in Africa than they would be here. So there's quite a list of things that are covered. So that's really our first objective now, and before we actually are able to leave for Africa, we'll need to have that support in place. There's another level, and that is the general operations of the mission, and they raise funds separately for that, so they don't mix the personnel support with their general operating revenues, and so you don't have a scenario where they're bringing in funds and then spending 70 or 80% of it on themselves. Most of it, in fact, 90%. The funds raised are used directly for the work. And a third level would be capital projects. So if there's a need to purchase airplanes, and those are handled again as a separate fundraising exercise. So our focus right now is on the funds that are needed to support our own ministry. And anyone who's interested in knowing more about that could go to www.mafc. Mission Aviation Fellowship Canada.org, and there's a lot of information there about Mission Aviation Fellowship, and there's also a donate button, and we'd be very glad if anyone who wishes to donate either on a ongoing monthly basis or on a one-time basis would do that and would put our name, Henderson, on the donation.
And I also suspect that you are hoping that whole churches might support you.
support actually is a two-way street, and it involves much more than money. It involves a spiritual relationship and some bonds with the people that are helping us. And so we do expect, and we already have some excellent relationships with churches both here in the Ottawa area and in Kitchener-Waterloo, where our original roots are. And so we'll be keeping in touch with those people, keeping them up to date on what we're doing, how things are going, essentially letting them know on a month-by-month basis what the both the donations they're giving and the prayers they're sending up are actually accomplishing. So it's important for us to have those relationships with churches that are prepared to put our name in their bulletin and every month or two and say, guess what, the Hendersons have done this in the last month. We heard from the Hendersons and they really have identified this kind of a need that that could be met. And so we're looking for relationships with churches, relationships with individuals that we can maintain over the long term.
Norm, you're leaving the Ottawa company that you founded, the IT department, in the hands of others in order to do this work in Africa. What is this special expertise that the IT department offers its customers, and how are they going to manage without you?
Well, I learned a long time ago that whatever I get involved in generally can manage without me. No one is indispensable. The IT department is, we think, Ottawa's leading provider of information technology support for small and medium organizations. We actually work outside the Ottawa area as well, in Toronto, and with clients across the country as far as Vancouver, as far east as St. John's, Newfoundland. So what we do for our clients is monitor and manage all of the servers and technology and networks that are required to run a business, and we provide a help desk. So if someone's having trouble getting their computer started or getting a job done with it, they can call our specialists and get some help. That works very well. Of course, we do some hands-on service as well. So that's what the company is about, and it's 10 years old now, and I really honestly feel that God has called me to move on so he can do even better things with the IT department. I think that companies often come to a point where they need a fresh vision, fresh blood, perhaps a different scale of expertise, and the individual that has taken over management of the company from me has experience running organizations that are 100 times larger than the IT department. So I'm confident that it will go forward and it will be successful without me.
You're obviously a modest man amongst your accomplishments, but it does sound as if this whole thing is being orchestrated by a higher power, by our Lord.
It was actually astounding that Ray agreed to take on the position. He's an individual who could have done many much more exciting and much more lucrative things than run the IT department for the next 10 years. And that in itself is an act of God that he's agreed to and has become fully engaged and enthused about taking the IT department to the next level.
Well, I wonder if it had anything at all to do with the fact that it does facilitate you two both being able to fulfill your dream in Africa. So it sounds like a win-win-win situation to me. Audrey and Norm, I hope that while you're gone, you will watch over each other and look after each other and make sure that you're safe, because we want to see you back here in Canada in two pieces, one each. In a decade or so. I'm sure you'll be coming to visit from time to time.
Oh, yes.
I'm in awe of what you're doing, but I know from my own experience in some ministry that I do that if you're being asked to do something, you're also given the wish, the desire to do it. Mm. It becomes the thing you want to do most in the world, and I think I can see in both your eyes and faces tonight that you've been stricken with this desire to do this. Nothing's going to stop you. Am I right?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Good. Well, Godspeed when you go. Godspeed selling the house as well.
Thank you.
And the other administrative things that have to be done first. And let's
first we have to clear it out, and that's in some ways the biggest challenge of all.
Oh, maybe you should have a huge garage sale or something like that. I'm privileged to have been able to have this chat with you tonight. Thank you for fitting me in. And we, all three of us, wish Merry Christmas to the listeners.
Yes, a very Merry Christmas. Mm-hmm.